Well, today our lesson focuses on hope. We're going to look at hope, how the world defines it, how the Bible defines it, how to get it, how to keep it, and how to give it away. Well, today hope is certainly a fleeting concept and a fleeting practice. It doesn't take much to see that we live in a world that struggles against hopelessness. Just turn on any TV, news show, read the newspaper, listen to the radio, and it's easy to see why people are becoming so cynical. I get cynical. Everybody thinks the world is going down the tubes. On a world scale, it seems like we go from crisis to crisis. And just in our own lifetime, some of us have gone through World War II, some of us have gone through Korea, Vietnam. You younger girls are going, what are those? the Iran hostage crisis, 9/11, and on and on. And then, of course, we live with the fear of those happening again. We all live with the fear of 9/11 happening again. So we're scared that there could be more conflicts. There has been and is right now, which I'm sure affects most of us, an economic crisis going on. We're faced with an ongoing crisis in leadership. People are marching on Wall Street. There's been rioting in Oakland. Our moods are determined by if the stock market goes up or the stock market goes down. And I don't know, I don't follow it that much, but it seems to go vacillate every day. It does feel sometimes as if things are falling apart all around us. It does feel hopeless. Which of these things in your life tend to make you feel hopeless? The economy, politics, maybe all of them. Which of these do you feel most hopeless about? But not all these struggles are always necessarily on our personal level either. Not on a national level, I mean. In our personal lives, we all have pain. We have physical problems that affect our bodies. We endure emotional turmoil that comes with losing a loved one, or we have emotional turmoil that comes when a loved one has disappointed us. That could be your kids, that could be spouses, it could be siblings. If we really are honest, sometimes we have to admit we're even disappointed with God, and sometimes we struggle spiritually. So we never, when talking to anybody, we never want to candy coat the pain and struggles we go through. But we do want to give them perspective. What perspective? An eternal perspective. We don't want to get so discouraged with the difficulties of this life that we lose sight of the big picture. And the big picture is eternity. And I think maybe this has always been true. It just feels more like it right now. It's so easy to fall into pessimism. There's times I can't even open the paper anymore. It's just so depressing because I could get pessimistic about everything that's going on. But when our pessimism becomes a habit, we fall into fatalism. Pessimism is Satan's tool of discouragement, but fatalism is his goal. I haven't thought about how dangerous this attitude could be. He wants you to give up hope so that he can lead you so far into a desert of despair that you are left spiritually blind. This pessimism is a very dangerous habit. The Bible smuggler, Brother Andrew, says that we can no longer tolerate Christian fatalism. We must fight for it for all we are worth because it is the most powerful weapon the enemy is using at this point to defeat the purposes of God. So we shouldn't, but how can we fight it when you look at all the things happening around you? Hopelessness is a mindset. It is a habitual choice. In other words, when you are hopeful or hopeless, it is totally up to you. And I thought, oh gosh, we can't blame other people. Pessimism isn't just a bad habit. It can be a denial of your faith. So when we talk about how to develop hope, we need to define it. Okay, so what is it and what is it not? When we use the word hope in the world's definition, it means hope in the desire for something good in the future. Like your kids may say, oh gosh, I hope daddy comes home early tonight so we can play with him. Are they sure he's coming home early tonight? No. They are describing a sense of uncertainty in what they're talking about. They are more uncertain than they are certain. All we're talking about here is something we want. It drives me crazy when I ask my sweet husband, okay, is this going to happen? Are we going to do this? Is this going to come through? Well, I hope so. Well, it doesn't tell me anything, you know. I don't care how you feel about it. I want some certainty. And when we use hope like this, well, I hope so. I hope this happens. It doesn't have any sure bet to it. I hope my kids will always live in Southern California. There's no certainty to that. That's just what I desire. So what is the difference with the biblical definition of the word hope? Well, it's all the difference in the world. The definition is, it is a confident expectation and desire for the goodness of God. I'm going to read that again. It is a confident expectation and desire for the goodness of God. Biblical hope not only desires something good in the future, it expects it to happen. And it not only expects it to happen, it is confident that it will happen. What will happen? God's actions for our good. Now, I think that is the key thing. It is God's actions for our good. He kind of gets to decide what he thinks is our good. So it's not always what we want is going to happen, but God just decides for our good. The certainty that God is good. So this is what the Bible means when we talk about hope. Romans 15:13 says, be filled with all joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So why is it important to abound in this hope? Not just to have a little bit of it, but what does it look like if we abound in it? Well, hope generates energy, enthusiasm, and excitement. A lack of hope breeds inertia and apathy. Hopelessness is at the root of so many psychological problems. I mean, you just see it around when these people, I guess I was out of town, but there was a horrible killing someplace, you know, and I think these people think there's no hope going on, that they just do these random killings, or there's an increase in suicide. Hopelessness makes us feel alone and afraid. We can become paralyzed, unable to make decisions or bring ourselves to do things. It is a dangerous path. It is a very dangerous path that Satan is just nudging us all the time to go on. The philosopher Immanuel Kant said that one of life's basic questions is, what may we hope for? Well, he's right. Where should we look to the answer to that question? Where should we tell other people to look for the answer to that question? Where is our hope? Is it in religion? Well, no, it's not in religion. We see the hopelessness in non-Christian religions. We see the rage of young Muslim men who think committing mass murder is their only chance for salvation. We see the vacant stares on hungry Hindu children whose parents have taught them that perpetual hunger is their fate. It's a destiny they have no control over. My husband and I've said it 100 times, we go to Sri Lanka almost every year. And after the tsunami, because I get up early, and I was in the restaurant having coffee, and the young gentleman, so I was talking to the waiter who spoke English, says, did the tsunami come in here? And he said, oh, yes, the tsunami came in and just wiped all this out. And I said, I am so sorry for all you've been through. I was, oh, no, it is our fault. It is my fault. I mean, it's that Buddhistic bad karma attitude. I said, you think it's your fault? Oh, no, it's my fault. I thought, there is no hope thinking that something that you did in a previous life can cause any kind of tragedy today. And I thought, what a hopeless attitude, that Buddhistic attitude that is just bad karma. And I thought, that's a lot to carry, that you're responsible for the tsunami. No God means no hope. No God means no hope. So these are all religions. Why is our hope any different than what other beliefs or religions offer? Because our hope is not about a belief. It is not even a religion. It is a hope in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. A promise is only as good as the person making it. Well, who's making this promise? God. God has made the promise that gives us hope, the creator of the universe. Psalm 52:9, in your name I will hope. Psalm 25:5, you are God, my Savior, my hope is in you. Psalm 62:5, in God alone my hope comes from him. Our hope is 100% about God and his character. I have a friend that I've known for years from college, and she's married to a non-believer, and she'll talk about it sometimes, and she'll say, oh, but he has more faith than anybody I know. And so I just said, what does he have faith in? And she goes, well, he has faith in faith. And where does that come from? This is a little esoteric for me. Help me. And she goes, just faith that things are going to work out. And I thought, you know what? There has to be an object of our faith. It cannot be in the universe. If I hear this one more, oh, it's all in the universe. Can you somebody explain to me what that means? The universe is going to meet my needs. Our faith is in the person of Jesus Christ. There is an object of our faith that comes through. And I think that makes all the difference. What does Scripture tell us about God that gives us hope? Okay, in our Psalm 34, verses 15, 17, and 18. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to the cry. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That picture of God should give us such hope. I think especially the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. It's when we are crushed, it's when we are brokenhearted that we become hopeless. God has told us that he has plans to give us a future and a hope. When God says this, he is not crossing his fingers like, you know, I hope daddy comes home early tonight. He is really guaranteeing it. He means it with absolute certainty. I think it was funny. Maybe Dave said it a couple weeks ago. It's like when something happens, God doesn't, oh gosh, that kind of got by me. I never knew that was going to happen. God knows, he is so sovereign. He knows everything that's happening, and that's who we put our hope in. And as we said earlier, abounding in this certainty, in this hope, God desires to bring each one of us into a life of abounding hope, hope that is strong, stable, radiant, unshaken, confident. Wouldn't that be great if we could say that about ourselves? And so plentiful that it spills over onto people around you. Does your hope spill out into people around you, no matter what your circumstances? Who is someone like that in your life? In spite of tough circumstances, he or she is abounding in hope. Hope that becomes contagious. Hope is what gets us through. It is real and true. And I can tell you about a dozen people in this room that have done that for me when I've been hopeless about something. They'll come in and go, let's look at the big picture. No, this isn't exactly true. Because when I get hopeless, my mind just takes off. And I mean, my husband can be late for work and I think, oh, maybe he's mad. Maybe, and I can end up planning a divorce. He goes, really, how do you get from here to there with your thought pattern? You know, I get these negative scenarios. I think it's just Satan taking us. And I love the verse, take every thought captive. And I thought, we need to be so on top of our thoughts with anything and not to assume stuff. And I love it that my friends will come around. Okay, let's bring this back to what is true. Your thoughts are going crazy. Let's bring everything back. We desperately need this hope every day in our lives because our lives are filled with disappointments, failures, losses. This is not about wishing. This is not about crossing our fingers. This is knowing. It is a certainty about the goodness of God. Hope is an emotional reservoir to draw from. How full or empty is your reservoir? If I am put down, I need my emotional reservoir of hope for the strength to return good for evil. I need a lot to return good for evil. Without hope, I have no power to absorb the wrong and walk in love. And I can sink into self-pity and a little self-justification. If I experience a setback in my planning or if I get sick, that's funny because I got sick yesterday, and things don't work out the way we thought, we need to draw from our emotional reservoir of hope to keep us going. But the point is, now is the time to fill your reservoir of hope. Don't wait for the trial or the dark times because it will be empty and you'll have nothing to draw from. You heard Terry say last week that we climb Mount Whitney, and yeah, I guess we're going to kind of work it into every talk, I guess, because we're so proud of ourselves. She says, I'm going to talk about Whitney. I go, I'm going to talk about Whitney. As we were climbing, as somebody said, make sure you eat your snacks and drink the water way before you ever think you need it. And it was fun. I ate M&Ms for 2 days straight. I was just like a happy thing. And it was, once you are thirsty, it's almost too late. Then you are really dehydrated. And once you're hungry, it's almost too late. Then you become so fatigued. And so I think it's the same thing with our emotional reservoir. Fill it up now. Fill it up as much as you can. Fill it up before you think you need it. How is this hope developed? Well, it's a habit and a mindset, and it is up to us. It doesn't seem necessary to cultivate it during the easy times, but we should, so we know the promises of God and the assurance of his goodness and love for us, that we're not totally knocked off our feet when life hits us. Romans 12:12, let your hope keep you joyful, be patient in your troubles, and pray at all time. This hope is to get us through our troubles. So how can you trust someone during the difficult times if you haven't spent time with them before? I know among my friends who would be there in the times of tragedy. You don't figure this out in the last minute who you're going to call. Relationships are built over time through experiences. Get to know the God of whom you should put your hope before the bottom falls out. get to know your God now. Develop that relationship so you have the intimacy all ready to draw upon when the hard times come. Each one of us is running a marathon just trying to do life. It's a very long, bumpy road with all the highs and lows, all the joys, and a lot of sadness. I wish it weren't true, but those of us that are a little older, we know this is true. We all start the race strong and optimistic. This is just going to be great. God loves me. My life's going to be easy. That's not true. Which of us will finish strong? Those that have loaded up on God's word and his faithfulness. Load up on God's word and his faithfulness. Know your God, his acts of faithfulness to draw upon when you get tired. Get to know his character through his stories in the Bible. I have always just loved the whole picture of the Israelites at the Red Sea. And there's just times when I feel like, I don't know how to get out of this mess. I'm in these circumstances. And I literally, and the whole picture just helps me. I said, okay, the Egyptians are coming. The Egyptians are coming. God, provide a way out. And I thought, he does provide a way out. And just that whole picture, when I think, there's no way out. I go, no, God has a way out. Look what he's done in the past. And so in your groups, talk about what stories. I mean, it might be David and Goliath. It might be anything. But talk about what stories you hang on to when you get in those situations. Build up being familiar with God's word every day. This is the source of knowledge about God, the giver of hope. You cannot have hope without God's word. Romans 15:4, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we will have hope. I'm going to read that again. I think that is so great. Romans 15:4, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we will have hope. You have hope to persevere through the encouragement of the scriptures. Eat and drink in his word even before you think you need it. The truth is, we need it every day. Write down God's faithfulness in your own life. And I think this is the beauty of small groups, of having Christian friends, to share where God's been faithful with each other. And I will draw upon somebody else's experience, and then it will just encourage me to keep going. I have a fun story about somebody. I won't say her name just in case she doesn't want it public, but there's somebody who's praying and praying and praying for her mother to become a Christian her whole life. I mean, she became a Christian as a young person. So she's probably prayed, 40 years for her mother to become a Christian. And everybody kept praying, and her mother was negative about it, and she was around Christians, and she was very, very cynical, and she was very pessimistic. And one day she took her to buy some shoes. And so she said something to the shoe salesman. She said, well, something about, oh, when I die. And so he said, well, do you know where you're going when you die? And she said, no, I don't know where I'm going. And then my friend behind her was going, she's not a Christian. And so he just keeps talking. And so she bought the shoes. She goes out to her car. The salesman follows her out to the car, gets down on his knees, and he starts sharing the Lord with her. In the parking lot, on his knees, talking to her in the car. She accepted Christ right then and there. And it's like, one, it's such a bizarre story, you know. And I think about that. It's not when we think it's going to happen. And then she got a Bible. I mean, it was so real. And my friends went, that's not how I thought it was going to happen. That's not exactly how I prayed for it. And that sweet man went out of business the next week, and she went back to him and said, thank you so much. She goes, I just went out of business. Maybe my whole point of being here was just for your mom to accept Christ. And I thought, who is this man? I want to go buy shoes from him. But I thought, it's never how we think. And I think this is such a reminder to us, because I'm always telling God how to do it and when to do it. And I thought, what a great reminder that we keep hoping, keep hoping, and keep hoping. Lamentations 3:21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. To call to mind other people's stories. To call to mind God's faithfulness in his word. Jesus spent several hours giving the encouragement of the scriptures to his audience of two on the road to Emmaus, because he wanted to give them a truer, more reliable hope than they knew before. Real hope comes from digging into the living word of God and treasuring it in your heart. Psalm 119, I have put my hope in your word. For this talk, I Googled, and I want you guys to do this. It was such a fun thing. I Googled Bible verses on hope. That's all I did in Google, Bible verses on hope. I got 13 pages of great. I was going to make copies for you until it was 13 pages. So I just printed up a little thing that I saw on hope. And it's just a little 4x6 thing for everybody. And as I saw, the print might be hard for some of us to read, but I thought it could be a good thing just on the refrigerator. You could put a 4x6 frame around it just to have it. It just has some great verses on hope. I think this is something we need to be reminded of all the time. So you must choose to build up your hope because the enemy is waiting to attack you when you're depleted. It's always when we're depleted. Satan's strategy is to rob you of simple, pure hope in God by replacing it with false hopes in everything but God. In our area, we are all bombarded every day with false promises of hope. You see it more in this culture, the false promises, than other cultures. I honestly have seen greater hope on the faces of very poor women in India than I see here, because they haven't learned to depend on anything else. They have the hope of eternity. They have the hope of Jesus. They have a genuine hope because they have nothing else. And I think in some ways, just in this little way, they get it better than we get it because we're so tempted by everything around here. We have so made this our heaven. But as we know, this race gets long and tiresome. And just like a marathon, I've never done a marathon, we sometimes just hit the wall and we want to quit. Everything hurts. We're depleted. We're discouraged. We don't want to take one more step. Right now, my husband and I and one of my brothers, we have been in a court battle brought on by, which is so sad, by my other brother. Both of our parents died tragically. There's just the three of us left. And I always thought, okay, here's the family that I'm hopeful will retain a family. And now one brother suing the other brother, we kind of got caught in the middle. It's just nothing but a bunch of lies. And I remember after, it just makes me so mad. I remember after 6 months saying to myself, okay, well, I just can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't take this right. I said, well, dummy, what are your options? I mean, I have no control over this. And I realized I did have an option. My option was to trust God and that he will sustain me no matter what the circumstances. And we are now at 2.5 years in this court battle, and God has sustained us. And honestly, as more time goes on, my hope becomes greater. The circumstances don't get better, but God is working on both of us to put our hope, not in my family anymore, not in the court system, but in him. And he's teaching me so much in this process. And now I'm like, oh, maybe it'll take 5 years. And I'm no longer saying, I can't do this anymore. Well, I've learned I can do it with God's help. And I have hope just in who he is. I mean, he's taught me, he's kind of stripped me of the other places I always put it. So he's not changing the circumstances, but I hope he's changing me. I'm trying to learn to forgive. That's an everyday thing. So when we do feel hopeless, that's exactly when we realize where our hope is. I love this quote. Hope means hoping when things are hopeless or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hopeful is merely flattery and platitudes. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. Isn't that true? It's so easy to say, oh, I've got lots of hope and everything's going great. It's when things are taken away that then you develop your hope. We build new muscle only when the muscle is totally fatigued. You've all heard that in exercise. It's when you can't do one more rep of anything, one more step of anything. That's when the new muscle is developed. Same with hope. It is built when we are so fatigued. And what I'm going through is nothing compared to what so many of you have gone through. But when I do hit the wall, I now know what my only good options have ever been. Lots of prayer and seeking the Lord. Where do you hit your walls? Where do you just think, I can't go another step? Where do you feel so depleted? Where do you want to give up? Talk about your walls in your group. We all have them. And it seems in my life, my walls are all the same. You know, I always worry about the same things. It's just the same kind of prayer request as years go on. Is it with your kids? Is it with your marriage? Is it with finances? Is it with health? Like the marathon, we can only endure because of drinking in God and his word and his hope. We so need to be saturated with his word. I know I'm saying this over and over again, but it is the absolute truth. We so need to be saturated with his word. 1 Thessalonians says, your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:4, perseverance brings character, which produces hope. Hope comes from our endurance. But we do not run alone either. As Christians, we should be in the hope business. Make sure you are the voice of hope for others. We can distribute hope or hopelessness to others by our words every day. That's a powerful thought. We can distribute hope or hopelessness to others by our words every day. From your own experience, from your own emotional reserve, you can encourage others with the hope that you draw from. You need to be built up, though, to encourage others. 1 Peter 3:15, I love this. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. And I was even thinking, for those that are around us that are non-Christians, when they talk about the state of the world, how horrible it is, what a tragedy it is, whatever it is, the economy, the global economy, everything, it's a great opportunity. It is our best opportunity to share the Lord. So in this great, this isn't everything. This isn't the end of everything. This is not our home. This is not our heaven. We have a leader in the name of Jesus Christ who will never disappoint us. And I think when people do get discouraged about this life, it's a great time for us to march in and tell the truth that this isn't all there is. We have the hope of glory, and we need to be telling people that instead of becoming so down about this. We need to have more of an eternal perspective. Psalm 34 uses the words, extol, praise, let the afflicted hear, exalt, when stating how we need to not keep this hope to ourselves. What excuse do you give for not giving hope to others around you? What do you say? Oh, I'm too tired. I have so much going on in my own life. I think we so pride ourselves in being busy. I have so much going on that I can't help anybody else. Well, I read in a book, this is the most convicting picture of why we can't not help others, is Jesus on the cross. He is suffocating. He's been tortured. He is dying the worst death imaginable. And the thief next to him asked him where he would be. Jesus said, tomorrow you'll be with me in paradise. And I thought, at that point in Jesus' life, he reached out to the thief next to him. And I thought, we have no excuse to say, I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I don't really want to reach out to somebody. We need to look at the needs around us and be in the business of distributing hope. And again, but we need to be so careful that we don't sound dismissive when we're trying to express hope. We all know how frustrating, I mean, it's even hurtful when you share something vulnerable and someone can throw out a spiritual platitude. Well, you just need to trust God. God will work it out. Well, you just need to pray about it. Be empathetic first. Always come alongside and share somebody's pain. These statements are all true. It is how we communicate them. It's when we communicate them. Come alongside somebody first, hear their pain, and then when the time is right, share your hope with them. I love the statement, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. So the caring has to come first, and then the knowledge comes later. Come alongside and show somebody how much you love them. Who has given you hope? I think this would be another fun thing to talk about in our groups. Who has given you hope? I'm sure it's people in your small group. To whom do you need to give hope? Is there some relative? Is there somebody you need to call? This hope is not based on the fact that our circumstances will always change, but is based on the goodness of God and his purposes for us. This marathon is hard. There's no getting around it, but the results are so worth it. Isaiah 40:13. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That is the result of God's hope in our lives. We will have more joy. We will have greater security. We will have sweeter peace, a stronger witness, longer endurance as a result of making hope a habit. What do you need to do to become habitually hopeful? And talk about that in your groups too. What do you need to do? Is it God's word? Is it faithfulness? Is it just kind of changing your attitude about something? Is it just kind of changing what you talk about? Do you love to complain about things? All these pains are real, but God's hope is just as real. I heard a great quote sometimes. Some girl was just messing up, and her father said, I have hope that you can mess up your life, but I have greater hope that the Lord can fix you. And I thought that was a great thing to tell a rebellious kid. Because our hope is not in the circumstances, but it is in God. Okay, in a book I was reading, I thought this was so great. And everybody in your small groups, it is called My Vow of Hope. And I'm not saying you have to sign this in blood or anything. This is more of just a reminder to put in your Bible, maybe every day just to look at it, and I will read it to you. I blank on this day do hereby make the following solemn vow before Almighty God. From this moment forward and forever, I dedicate myself to the habit of hope, to live my life in constant, confident expectation of the goodness of God. I believe it is not too late for me, that God has plans for me, for my good and not for evil, to give me a future and a hope. I fully believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will learn to abound in hope. From this moment forward, I am resolved to set my hope fully on the fact that God is causing all things to work together for the good in my life. That this is just a great reminder to have. When you start to get discouraged, just read this again. All this is God's word. All this is verses put together, you know. And I thought, it is up to us to pursue the habit of hopefulness and not hopelessness or pessimism. One, it's such a bad witness to other people, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do it. Okay, so let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, we just thank you in Psalm 34 how you are close to the brokenhearted, for those that are crushed in spirit. And Father, I just thank you so much for your promises. I thank you so much for your word that is living and can change our lives. So Father, I just pray for just honesty on our parts about those places where we are so tempted just to quit, where we really feel like we do hit the wall, where Satan knows we're vulnerable. And Father, that we can just help each other in those areas just to keep going, just to keep running the race. It is hard and we do get tired. And Father, we just thank you for the strength from your Holy Spirit. And we just thank you for the faithfulness that we see in your word. Father, just thank you for these women, just how much they love you and your word, and just for the working of the body in this group. Father, we love you and thank you in your son's name. Amen. Emotional that I've probably done for 10 years that I think is very hopeful. Streams in the desert, if you haven't done it, I know there's a lot of great ones, but when I'm feeling